Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is facing 8 challengers in next month's citywide elections, and each brings a little something different to the contest. One candidate is essentially funding his own campaign and some charitable endeavors and promising to get tough on crime if elected. This weekend, we spend some time with politician, businessman, and philanthropist Willie Wilson. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Dellamore, and this is At Issue. This is Willie Wilson's third campaign for mayor. He also campaigned for president in 2016, but he's probably had his highest visibility during this campaign season. What with gasoline giveaways, some tough talk about crime, and well-produced commercials in primetime. Not bad for the son of a sharecropper. His is a literal rags-to-riches story. Willie Wilson was born in Louisiana, got a seventh-grade education, and left home as a young teenager. He picked cotton and worked in sugarcane fields. He'd eventually move to Chicago and work his way up from mopping floors at a McDonald's restaurant to owning several of them. Now he owns Omar Medical Supplies, which imports and distributes latex gloves and other equipment. And wasn't that the right business to be in when the coronavirus pandemic hit? Willie Wilson has an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree from Mount Carmel Theological Seminary and an honorary Doctor of Humane Letters from Chicago Baptist Institute International, and now he is running for mayor. We're recording this interview at Dr. Wilson's home downtown overlooking the lake. Willie Wilson, welcome back to the program.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate you having us on. You're the only fair news reporter that I know pretty much, you know?
I hope not. I think there are a few of us out there.
Yeah, it is, but you tell the truth a lot. I appreciate all you guys that you know, says it like it is, and we can take it good or bad. But we appreciate the one at least putting it like it is.
Well, thank you very much. Well, Dr. Wilson, the public loves a good rags-to-riches story, but what is it that makes your story the story of a man who should be Chicago's mayor?
Well, genuine, for real. Don't want a paycheck. Put about $6 million of my own money into the campaign. Crime is tough, and I want to see it get it down. Taxes is too high. I want to see it lower, because I think you lower tax, you keep the citizen here, and I think you keep business here, and you keep international business from coming here and the rest of them. So I think you lower those taxes and tax break and those big businesses there. When people say we shouldn't get in it, tax break to big business, I say it's wrong. You got to give them tax break to get them here, basically putting them overseas. Plus, big business hired about millions and millions of small business jobs. And so for a lot of small businesses be able to expand and do some things. And so, you know, if you ain't got nothing in the neighborhood, how you going to make a living? So I'm pro-business, but the biggest thing, I'm pro-police officer. You know, I believe you should take the handcuffs off the policeman and put them on the people who really is doing it. And really, I'm pro-policeman because I lost a 20-year-old son to drugs. And I think those people commit crime and continue to commit crime, not being caught. We got to take a lot of these rules off our police officer to be able to catch them and put them behind bars because of the fact that you shouldn't be running loose. One week you do something, next day or two you do something, and kids should be able to come out and play, and people should feel safe and comfortable in their homes. You know, so we have to do something about it. Let's remove some of the restriction off police off and let back them. And not saying everybody's right, but using common sense.
And let's talk a little bit more about that, because that is the big issue for a lot of voters this year. What are the kinds of rules that you think are handcuffing the police officers?
Well, okay, if I'm standing up beside a police officer across the street, somebody comes up and robs me, somebody knocked me down, and the person who did it run, police officer can't chase him, you know, down. That person should be chased down and should be caught and apprehended and put in jail for the crime that he did. Now, you're not talking about a lot of people just say petty crime. You're talking about major crime as well. You're talking about people losing their life. You're talking about senior citizens losing their life. You're talking about a lot of young people who have a bright future lose their life and no more. You're talking about young ladies and women getting raped, you know, scared to go out the house. And you're talking all these situations. So we remove that. The other thing would be give them good raises and pay. Give them good vacation, you know, out here, you know. Treat them like they are hero because they are, you know. Don't feel that they are enemy because they are not. When a particular police officer takes to do something, they need to be back. Instead of maybe they're too afraid of being back, they're too afraid of getting prosecuted. Well, in order to do your job good, you can't be feared you're going to get prosecuted, you know. So those type of things, that those just a few of them out here. And give them 5 or 6 week vacation. Suicide's high, you know. Let them be with their family. Let them enjoy their vacation, you know. Give them good sick pay. Leave the absent. And I would even say this too. See, they put their life on line for us. You know, don't make them pay real estate taxes or something. I mean, they put their life on line for us so they can make a good living out here as well. You know, have some type of incentive that way. It may not be real estate tax, maybe half of the rent, or maybe rent free, you know. Because when a person walk out the door and they face trouble, they're doing it for you, myself, and the citizen. Don't know whether or not they're going to make it back home or not, you know. So when I leave out of my house or the average person leave out of the house, they go to work. They don't go running looking for trouble, people who doing wrong, you know. They ain't got to be faith if somebody take a gun and shoot at somebody and track down or rob a bank, those type of things. So that's why I back a police officer, and because if something happened, all of it's going to be dialed. The first thing we're going to do is dial 911.
But now, the rules about chasing, when we talk to Police Superintendent David Brown and the mayor, they say police can and should chase suspects who they sincerely believe have done something wrong. If someone saw you get robbed, that the police could chase them. And what they say they want to guard against those times when police chase after people for minor offenses, for a traffic stop, and someone runs from the police but doesn't have a gun. They say that these rules aren't that restrictive. What are you hearing from police officers?
How you know whether a person got a gun or not? When you chase, how you know? You know, if you run, whether you got a gun or a knife or don't have it, you know, with all the crimes on the situation there. And the police officer says it themselves. That's one of their biggest complaints. You know, if you're the mayor and people are saying that, then maybe they need to communicate more closely with the police officer, because I'm not hearing that, you know. And you know, so crime is so high until everybody is scared to death, you know. So something needs to be done about it. You know, look, you get me for free. I'm not taking a paycheck. I'm not having anybody to be forced upon to give a donation to my particular offer of re-election. None of that. You can give $500 or $1,000, but to give like 25, 50 rand or 100 rand, stuff like that. No, because that means that I got to answer them before I answer the people. You know, look, these particular politicians today, they give themselves automatic raises. The automatic raises when people can't even buy eggs. You know, I don't get it. When I, in corporate America, when things get tough, you freeze people a paycheck, or you lay them off, or you find ways to cut. But you certainly don't get no raise for doing a bad job.
Let me ask you one more crime question, because this does come up. It's why there is a consent decree in Chicago. What do we do about police officers who do go too far, who do perhaps beat people, or who shouldn't even be under arrest, or falsify evidence against them? That has happened as well.
You have to hold them accountable, point blank. You have to hold them accountable. Nobody's saying everything is perfect, just like the community. But we all are community. Police officer, people live in the community. Everybody need to be held accountable. But what I would do is put police officers together with citizen politician, have that committee together to take and making sure, discuss it, bring it direct to us, and but making sure everything is done equally and fairly, equal opportunity, equality for all citizens. And I'm not saying that citizen is always wrong. I'm not saying that at all. You know, a citizen, just like citizen investigated, police office turns up. If caught doing something wrong, must be held accountable like everybody else.
Some people kind of got tense when you at the debate at ABC 7 said that police should chase people, and who are chasing people should hunt them down like rabbits. Are you sorry you said it that way?
No, I'm not. I mean, look, when I say to hunt you down like rabbit, and the mayor had got up and said that, she's saying like she eases on people that kills other people. These crooks out here is killing people, the ones who doing it. You should be more hard on them than as opposed to anything else. Look, when I said chase you down like a rabbit, look, I had a 20-year-old son that was shot and killed with a gun. That's very emotional to me. I want to make sure that those people who run in the street, who doing these, committing these crimes, don't go next door to my neighbor and kill their kid or kill their grandparents or rape their daughter. That's basically the bottom line to it. I don't want to see it happen to nobody. I don't think nobody should have to go through what I went through and been through.
Indeed. Well, can we talk a little bit? This is sort of related to the crime issue, but it has its own dimensions, and that is transit. There is a lot of crime on the CTA. They have unarmed security, but they also have some more police officers. What would you do differently for our public transit, the buses and the trains?
I do a lot. I will put armed police officer. I will bring back the conductor. I will make sure the buses are clean. I'll make sure that the CTA particular fare is lower so we can get back up to the ridership, you know. I will make sure the people who drive in a CTA bus is comfortable, that they being protected too, you know. I'll make sure every bit of this. I would have that if somebody committed a crime and you got these cameras on the CTA, the L, that is, I'll put them on the front of the bus too, and everybody get on the bus and making sure that we can see, so that person that is driving that bus can feel comfortable that somebody watching them, and have it hook up direct to 911, that the people are watching them just like they watch everybody else, so that that person can feel comfortable. Particularly now, since crime is so high, we got to protect our citizen, you know? And so we'll bring back the conductor. We'll have armed security. You know, we'll make sure the buses are clean and the L is clean. We'll make sure we drop those prices for riders. People can afford to take then a ride the particular bus. You know, How can you ride a bus when you got egg prices high? Is it up 50%? And you can't buy food for your family, you know? So you got to do that.
But if you lower the fares, couldn't that take away money from trying to maintain the buses and the trains and to buy more of them or newer equipment that you might need or the security equipment?
No, I'm a business person. If they elect me mayor, you get a business person. When we lower real estate taxes, more people stay in their home. More people, more business stays in this city. All right? So it, just take for example, if somebody got the gasoline prices on the other side of the street, 5% less or 2% less, they're going to pull in the service station, they got less. More people going to come. More people going to shop. But the only way you're doing it right now, keep raising taxes, and you keep people leaving out of the city of Chicago, people in business. Look at how many people left out of Chicago in last year. How many business left out of Chicago in last year. So you know you ain't going nowhere. That way everything's going down here. But you got to have citizens live in Chicago in order to be profitable. You got to have citizens able to ride the CTA or the buses in order to make sure it's profitable. Right now it's going down the line. But we would take then do that, but we also would make sure we bid contracts out, you know, and we'll put trade school in those buses for young people who's in the neighborhood that want to learn how to drive a bus or you want to learn how to do mechanic work on a bus. We'll make sure we put trade school in those particular location. We'll make sure we put trade school in the school itself, and we'll make sure they can get out, get a good job. We'll make sure they can get contracts and things like that. So those buses are actually doing their work. They got hands on. Same thing we would do with the other agencies too, you know, that is out there. You know, so it ain't a situation where it's gonna run people away. Lower tax, keep people here.
And how, aside from lowering the taxes, what else would you do to bring more businesses to the city of Chicago? The mayor says she says businesses are coming to Chicago. I know you've heard her say that in the debates.
Yeah.
First off, how well is she doing in bringing businesses here, and what would you do differently, aside from lowering taxes?
Well, a lot I do different. One thing about it, I am a business person. I take a business person approach, you know. But first of all, is that I wouldn't be asking businesses to donate to my campaign. Number one, you know, I would not do that. All right. I would get involved with the business community and help the business community come and get a round table, help discussion and partnership with those particular major corporation to help being created to make sure that they ain't leaving Chicago. If they tell me they're going to leave Chicago because of taxes, we got to do some things, all right? We can't run them out of Chicago like I think we done did the Chicago Bears. Look how many tax dollars they're going to take out of Chicago, all right? So we can't do that. We'll make sure we on top of this thing. We'll make sure we got, you know, business have breaks, and by lower those taxes, bring new business in, keep the ones here, get rid of red light camera taxes, head taxes, you know, driveway taxes, you know, all those different taxes, bicycle taxes, you know, that keep people from coming to shop in Chicago because they can't afford to come. You move them around, the business began to stay here, and more people began to come here. It may be odd, but that's how it works.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore. My guest is Chicago businessman Willie Wilson, who is a candidate for mayor of Chicago. We are recording this interview at his lakefront home with a gorgeous view I wish you could see. But let's go a little further into economic development, because what has been a central theme for the incumbent, Mayor Lightfoot, has been the Invest Southwest program, which has a number of projects on the south and west sides, investment from, in some cases, big business, other cases, charities. Would you continue that effort, or do you have a problem with how it's being run?
Well, I will continue to bring new business to Chicago, help invest into the community, disadvantaged community out here. I would get input of the big business to help with the small business. I put a put those things together. That I put a safety net underneath the people who's in those neighborhoods to make sure if something go wrong in City Hall, that a red flag will come up and say they need help. Here's where they need help at. You know, we'll do an audit every 4 months to make sure that everybody is surviving. We'll make sure that we take and do it for real. Not just when you want to run for election and get elected. This mayor had 4 years to do this with. Why didn't she do it then? But she's just doing some now, trying to get reelected. And if she was going to get, if she did get reelected, that is, what do you think? Real estate tax gonna go up overnight? Gonna go up overnight, the real estate taxes, you know. So it's a game, you know. Look what she did to the school. Anybody get that low, you know, to have the kid to get out there and trying to use them and get them a higher, they can get a good, I mean, credit for it. Them is our kid. We don't want our kid trying to help be involved in politics or helping a mayor get elected because they're not learning much in school today. So that thing with businesses on the west side, we'll do it for real. We'll bring major corporations to give input involved in it. We'll put a safety net that together. We'll make sure we got the tax structure the right way, that they don't have to go out of business, time to get into business. You know, we'll make sure all that. Again, she had 4 years to do it. Why is she just not trying to do it now? You got another 4 weeks or 5 weeks to go before you're out of office.
I do want to ask you about an issue that has come up before in your past campaigns mm-hmm. and has come up again, and that is that you sometimes, even before you were running, you were giving out free gasoline. Mm-hmm. But recently, if I'm reading the report right, you were at a church and giving money to people and also campaigning. That seems to skirt the lines of where people can't pay for votes.
I wasn't campaigning in the particular, that was a senior citizen home mm-hmm. okay. when they did it. I was not campaigning. Every 3 to 4 months, I go around the senior citizen home and give away $300,000 because those senior citizens live off $3 a week for food allowance. Since food price inflation been so high, some of them live off $1 food allowance. I can't stop from going there and giving them money because I'm running for politics. You know, I put people first. Now, I've been in the last 35, 40 years, I done given away over $60 to $70 million. Last 35, 40 years. I'm not running for mayor where I help people in New Orleans, where I help people in California, Washington, D.C., help people in Rome, you know, helping people in St. Louis, in the whole state of Illinois. When the city of Chicago needed face mask, I gave away 60 million face masks. Chicago didn't have it. If I was running for office, you're saying not to give people face masks when they can't get it? That don't make sense. I could have made $2 a piece off those face masks, 60 million. That'd been about $120 million I could have put in my pocket. But I gave them away. All right? So whether the mayor election or not. I wasn't running for mayor 40 years ago or 10 years out here doing this. Now I just continue to do so. Oh, that's right. Look at that, right? Cook County Treasury. That was back in 2017 right there. But we gave away $500,000 that year. All right? That's just one of the things I done right there. And so we constantly give. I wasn't giving out to the people to get vote. We giving away the past year $500,000 or more just for people who live in Tent City. Those people probably ain't gonna vote, you know. But we give it to them. Now everything I'm saying to you is documentation of it. All you got to do is check Willie Wilson Facebook. It's documentation of everything that I do. Way back to 1995, front page of Wall Street Journal. All that's out, that's documentation right there. And all of it way out there. And so should I stop because I'm running for office? I don't think so. I put people first. The mayor office is not that important that I have to put people first. That, you know, out here, stop putting people first, that is. But meaning to take them, stop doing these things. I would never stop. I would never, ever stop. Just like the kids in the house don't have food to eat. Family can't get no food to eat. They don't have the money. What, I'm going to stop helping that family? Every church I go to, every Sunday, we go two or three churches on a Sunday. We averaged, I think this past Sunday, we gave away about $60,000. Not only we give it to the church itself, but we give it to the pastor, we give it to the church, and everybody in the audience we give to. Not only here in Chicago, everywhere we go. We give away. All you got to do is just ask the people. You know? By the way, we got another gas giveaway February the 4th. We got 20 service stations, and we got 6-7 food. Supermarket that we give it to, and we all around the whole city, and we out there, we help white, black, Asian American, we help them all. And if I was doing my base, I would take that money, and people would say, "Oh, you take the money and put it in just the African American community." No, I put it in all community, and I make sure that's done. I get people out of jail that for misdemeanor and nonviolent. Get them out of jail. Nobody's saying them that. Them kids probably ain't going to vote. And after I get them out of jail, I've been sitting there for 6 months, a year, ain't even had a trial. You know, I get them out of jail. When I get them out of jail, I give them money in their pocket to get food. And don't know none of them. But I also make sure that we got a mixture of people, white, black, gay, lesbian, your whole nine yards. Hey. Latin American, all of them. I just don't care. I care about people first.
What do you say to some of your opponents who suggest that you're really a Republican?
I'm both. I'm independent. If a Republican going to help people, I'm Republican. Democrat going to help people, I'm Democrat. Libertarian going to help people, I'm that too. I'm all of them because I don't look at one party. I look at everybody, and I love everybody, and I have to help everybody. How many people just saying that now? The mayor has accused me of that. But if she did, why did she? Why don't she give me my $10,000 back I gave her? I endorse her for mayor. If she figured that, why did she let me do that? Just give me my money back. Then I'll be happy to whatever she got to say. And why did she accept my endorsement? That don't make sense, you know?
Well, that's going to be the final word because we are out of time. I would like to thank Dr. Willie Wilson, candidate for mayor of Chicago, for spending time with us. And thank you so much for allowing me into your home.
Thank you.
To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, 105.9 WBBM.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.